So the pasuk tells us in this week's parsha that after Moshe Rabbeinu concluded the Shiras Hayom, the pasuk says, "Vatikach Miriam Hanaviya Achas Aaron Es Hatoif Biyada." Miriam took the instruments in her hand, but they tenakol Anoshim Acharei Besupim Umchaylo. So all the women followed her with instruments and with dances. So the Chida asks in the Sefer Nachal Kedumim on Chumash. It's paraphrased here by the Me'am Loyes, which is a yukot of different collection of different mafarshim. So he asks, how come the women are using instruments? Sounds like Miriam sang too. So it sounds like they're singing as well. But they used instruments to accompany their singing, but the men did not. How come the women used instruments? So the Chida explains, Hatamhu mipnesha kol b'isha erva, because the call of a woman singing is an erva. V'asa l'isha l'zama b'fnei anoshim, a woman is not allowed to sing before men. And therefore, they brought these instruments so that their voices should not be heard. Okay, so it was in order to drown out the kol isha, they brought along instruments. I guess this is an opportunity then in Parshas B'Shalach to discuss the general topic of kol b'isha erva, the voice of a woman is considered to be an erva. So in order to understand it properly, we have to go back to the beginning of this sugya, which is in the Gemara Brachos over here, Chavdal Adam Adav. So look over here, Eis Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, tefach b'isha erva. A tefach of a woman, this is talking about a part of the woman's body that is normally covered. Not a part of the woman's body that is normally uncovered, but a part of the woman's body that is normally covered is an erva. So Gemara says, Lamai, ilem listakule ba, if you're talking about looking at it, so even kol mistaka be'etzba ketana shalishim, that's in a tefach. A man, what's the chiddush? Any man who looks with intention to look and to benefit, to gaze, kol mistaka be'etzba ketana shalishim, kiu mistaka, makom ha'teref. A man who gazes at even a part of a woman's body which is normally uncovered, her fingers, as if he gazed at her most private areas of her body. So what is Rabbi Yitzchak adding? Tefach, sounds like it's a shear. Of Anisha's and Erva, those parts of the body that are generally covered, and here is uncovered. Even if you look at a woman, gaze at a woman's part of her body that's normally uncovered, is improper. Ella says the Gemara Beishtai is talking about a man's wife that he's allowed to gaze at her. Ula Kriyashma. So if it's allowed to gaze at her, why is it Tefach Beisha Erva? It's talking about that he's not allowed to lane Kriyashma to read Kriyashma. The same would be true with regards to Tefillah or Talmud Torah. In the presence of a part of his wife's body that is normally covered and a tefach is uncovered, then it's prohibited to read Kriya Shema in that environment. That's based on a pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse of Lo Yire Becha Ervas Dovar. There shouldn't be an erva while you're doing Dvarim Shebikdusha. Okay, so it shouldn't be seen. So you're not allowed to learn Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to learn Torah in the presence of a tefach b'isha erva, even if it's your wife, which you're allowed to gaze at. As long as it's a tefach of her body that is normally covered. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda adds to this, Shaik b'isha erva. A woman's thigh is an erva. So the Rishonim asks, what does this add to the conversation? A thigh is presumably an area of the body that is normally covered. So we said tefach b'isha erva. Normally covered and it's revealed. You're not allowed to lay in Kriya Shema. So he adds a shaik b'isha erva. What does that come to add? So some Rishonim say it's coming to add even less than a tefach of a shaykh. It is already an erva, you're not allowed to learn Kriya Shema. However, the Chai Odom adopts, and this is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, adopts the opinion of the Tosfos HaRashi to Mekubetzes, that what he's coming to add is, even if you're in a locale where that becomes the norm, that becomes a place of the body that is uncovered. That's the regular, you know, that's the way society is, that's a part of the body that is uncovered, that is objectively an erva in the eyes of Halacha. Certain parts of the body depend on the community. Is it derech to cover it? Is it derech not to cover it? And if it's a derech to be covered and now it's uncovered, tefach b'yishayavah. But there are certain parts of a woman's body, the Chayadim claims is not limited to shaykh, certain parts of a woman's body that are objectively erva, whether it's generally covered, generally uncovered, doesn't make a difference. It's always erva. And that's represented here by shaykh. A thigh. So then the Gemara continues in that context. Amar Shmuel, kol b'yishay erva. A woman's voice is also an erva. Because your voice is sweet and your appearance is pleasant, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Okay? What though, and that's the line in the Gemara that we'd like to discuss, but there are two things that are a little bit unclear in the Gemara. The first is, What type of kol are we talking about? A woman speaking voice too? Is kol be'isha erva? And with regards to what is this relevant? Is this with regards to kind of like the Easter istaklus? So you're not allowed to listen at all? Or are we only talking about with regards to Kriya Shema that it's an erva? Or maybe we're only talking about with regards to listening but not with regards to Kriya Shema. So with regards to the first issue, what type of kol are we talking about here? A singing voice, a talking voice, speaking voice? So if you look at the Gemara in Kiddushin over here, Ayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara seems to imply even a woman's speaking voice is prohibited with regard under the phrase of Kol B'Isha Erva, because the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim wanted to send Shalom to Yalsa. Yalsa was the wife of Rav Nachman. So Neshada Leimar Shalma LeYalsa, send her Shalom. Amalei Achi Amar Shmuel, you can't Kol B'Isha Erva. She can't respond. It'll be a problem of Kol B'Isha Erva. Send the shliach. Send her regards with the shliach. The Gemara says, "Ain shalom b'shalom isha." You're not allowed to ask the shalom of another man's wife at all. Fine, even al yedei shliach. But if she was going to respond, the Gemara assumed the problem was what? One of kol b'isha erva, but she's just speaking. So some mishanim say, you see from here, even a woman's speaking voice, the Yireim like that, even a woman's speaking voice is a problem because of kol b'isha erva. The Marashah makes this ha'ara in the Gemara too. So the Rashban Maseches Brachos though writes like this. Look over here, Ois Hey. The Rashban writes, "Va'asa l'shmaya afilu kol dibura." You're not allowed to listen even to a woman's speaking voice. Kedarmina b'kiddushin, kol b'isha erva. And some Mishnayim say like that, but the Rashban disagrees, and he says, "Miunire the davka kol shel she'ela shalom." Maybe over there is different because it was regards. It was She'ela Shalom. In the times of the Gemara, She'ela Shalom was a serious business. One of the Surim of Avelos is She'ela Shalom. Probably doesn't mean picking up the phone and saying hello. That's not She'ela. He's saying, "How are you?" We don't really mean "How are you?" If you say "How are you" to someone and he starts going off, "Well, how he really is," and it's like, that's not what I meant by the question. I just meant to say hi, you know. But in the times of the Gemara, when you said "How are you?" you expected a response. It was hello. It was an intimate thing. So says the Rashi, "Miu Nira the Davka Kolcha She'ela Shalom." It was a responding to Shom ki hasam deika kiruv das. It was an intimate exchange. It wasn't just a formality. Okay, so then the Rashba says that's why over there was perhaps a concern of kol be'isha erva. But in general, a woman's speaking voice, the Rashba is not concerned with kol be'isha erva. And even though the Rishonim who are machmir on this, that even the kol dibur of a woman is an erva, the Shulchan Aruch adopts the opinion of the Rashba. Look down over here, Ois Yedawah, the Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Ayin Hei Siv Gimel. That's in Hilchos Kriya Shema. Look at the end, writes about Kol Harogil Boi Einoi Erva. A kol that you are used to hearing, meaning it's like a part of the body that is normally uncovered. A woman's face, hands, face, things like that. Kol Harogil Boi Einoi Erva. So that if you're used to hearing it, that's not an erva. It says in Mishnah Berurah, what does that mean? It means a kol dibor. The kol of a woman's speaking voice is not considered to be called Be'isha Erev, and that's based on this Rashba, that the Gemara only asked She'ela Shalom. That was an intimate exchange. But otherwise, Kol Dibor is permitted. And that's how we paskin. Fine, so we know what type of Kol we're talking about. We're talking about the type of Kol that's a Kol probably of singing, a Kol Zemer. But what is this relevant to? What is the Iser apply to, and what is the nature of the Iser? So if you look at Ois Vav, the Rosh writes in Masechtas Brachos, Amar Shmuel kol b'isha erva shenemar kikolich orev, because your voice is pleasant. Perush lishmaya kol b'isha erva is also to hear. V'loy leinin kriya shma, but it's not an erva for kriya shma, meaning you can't hear it. But if let's say it's your wife who's singing, which you can hear, well, then you could lay kriya shma in the presence of that. If it's your wife, you're allowed to look at your wife, gaze at your wife's body. But if there's a part of the body that's uncovered, a tefach or shoik, so then you're not allowed to lay in Kriya Shema. It's an erva. But when it comes to kol, that halacha would not apply. It's simply also to listen to, but it's not an erva for Kriya Shema. And that's how the Kesef Mishnah understands the opinion of the Rambam. Look over here, Oizai in the Kesef Mishnah writes that the Rambam never mentions in all of Hilchos Kriya Shema the halacha of kol b'isha erva. He never mentioned it. He says, tefach of a woman that's normally covered, and here it's uncovered, erva, you can't lay in Kriya Shema, even though you're allowed to look at it. It might be your wife. Or shayik b'isha erva, you're not allowed to learn kriyashma in the presence of a shayik, even if it's one's wife, he's allowed to look at. In regards to kriyashma, it's an erva. But Kol never mentions. So it says the case of Mishnah, v'sovei rabbeinu, shaloi le'inin kriyashma ne'mar. This halacha was not said with regards to kriyashma, le'inin sha'asa le'hanos b'kala. It rather refers to a person who has intention to listen and to enjoy listening to her voice, or looking at her hair, say, my dear, v'lachein lo'hizkira poi. And therefore, the Rambam doesn't mention it with regards to Kriyashma. It's only if you intend to listen to and to enjoy her voice. It's also, but it's not an erva vis-a-vis Kriyashma. That's the Pashup Shat in the Rush, the Pashup Shat in the Rambam. On the bottom of the Rush, in Masechtas Brachos, is a commentary called Madana Yontif. So Madana Yontif claims the Rush really held it's an erva for Kriyashma too. The only problem is, if Kol B'Isha Erva is a problem for Kriya Shema too, guess what? In our society, it's so prevalent to have Kol B'Isha Erva wherever you go. You could run into a Kol Isha. It says, so the Rosh said, we'll never be able to learn Kriya Shema. Well, no one will be able to learn on the subway. You'll never be able to do anything. You could be surrounded by Kol B'Isha Erva. So therefore, the Rosh abandoned, even though really the Rosh held Kol B'Isha Erva should apply to Kriya Shema too. And even if it's a call that you're allowed to hear, it should be also to learn Kriya Shema. Certainly a call you're not allowed to hear someone else's wife, or call Nochris, call Nida, whatever, call of an erva, that you're not allowed to hear, should be an erva for Kriya Shema too. Just will never be able to do anything if that would be the case. And therefore the Rosh didn't say it. He said, it's also to hear, but for Kriya Shema you can learn Kriya Shema. What else are we going to do? Otherwise you'll never be able to learn Kriya Shema anywhere. So in fact, the Mishnah Berurah makes such a similar argument on his own. The Mishnah Berurah says, look over here, Ois Ches, Mishnah Berurah says, "Mikamokum amhu b'derech bein ha'akum." He's on the road. Or be'ir in the city v'hu onus. There's nothing he can do. It's against the v'yishayev shulay limchos. We live in Golus. He cannot make a protest. Kevin deloy matzino the mikri erva midayraisa. Since we don't find that it's called an erva midayraisa, it's based on a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. He called it orei v'marech nove. Muter likros u'levarech. You're allowed to make brachis and to read Kriyat Shema. Dim loy kain. If you're not going to say this, Kaman Shayna Shrim in Akum, since we live in Golis, this Batum Eteru Tefillah. If we're not going to be Megal on this, we won't have Torah. You can never learn. You never learn Kriya Shema. You never Torah Daven, because wherever you are, you can run into a Kalisha. So we'll be stuck. So Eis Lasos Lashem, what are we going to do? Heferus Arasecha. The time came to do for the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have the right to violate this halacha. He should have in mind to try and block it out. So the Madana Yomtiv claims in the bottom of the Rush, that's why the Rush didn't count this as one of the erbas with regards to Kriyashma, because otherwise we'll never learn Kriyashma. That's a difficult shot in the Rush. If the Rush meant this, he should have said it. There's a lot missing over here in the Rush. Yeah, what?
Last week we said the Rush was saying that with the adopted kids, if it's too difficult, then we just forget about it.
So that's what he's saying within the Rush. Here. Oh, that's with regard to Yichud.
He's saying it's too difficult.
So the Rush said it over there by Yichud with one's wife, isn't either? Yeah. But here the Rush doesn't say anything. I find that a difficult shot in the Rush and the Rambam. So it sounds like from the Rush and the Rambam that they're saying, no, it's only an erva with regards to hearing, not an erva with regards to Kriyashma. Why should we make such a distinction? So I believe that the Pshat and the Rosh and the Rambam is the following, Rabbi Yisai. The Pshat and the Rosh and the Rambam is that they understand Kol Isha is not an objective erva, meaning it's not something which is inherently provocative, like a Sheikh B'Isha erva or a Tefach Megula of a woman's body that's normally covered, now it's all uncovered. That's something that's inherently provocative, and therefore that falls under the banner of Lo Yireh B'cha Ervas Dover. You cannot say Kriya Shema, learn, daven in the presence of an erva. Kol is not an erva in the sense that it's inherently provocative. It can be seductive. It can lead to something more serious. It can lead to relations. But it itself is not something which is inherently provocative that should be labeled as an erva. So therefore you shouldn't listen to it. Why? Because it's seductive. It can lead to something more. But at the same time, it's not inherently provocative that it should be labeled as an erva. That, I believe, is the Pshat in the Rambam. The Drish already makes this Ha'ara in the language of the Rambam. Look at Ois Tes. The Rambam does not quote the Halach of Kol B'Isha Erva in Hilchas Kriya Shema. He quotes it in Hilchas Yisurei Bia. Writes the Rambam, Perech of Alf Halacha Beis, HaMestakel Afilu Be'etzba Ketana Shal Isha. A man looks, gazes at an Etzba Ketana of a woman, V'Niskaven Le'onois. his intention to enjoy looking, then if he does so, it's as if he looked at the most private parts of her body. Va'afilu, says the Rambam, lishmaya kol ha'erva, even to listen to the kol of an erva. So Rabbi says, pay attention to the language. The Rambam says, ha'mistaka afilu be'ezba kitana sho isha. Isha is a generic woman. You have intention to gaze at a woman's finger, so lehanois, when it's kavin lehanois, that is prohibited. But he's describing a generic woman. Then he says, afilu lishmo ko ha'erva, or to listen to the voice of an erva. Here it's not a generic woman. It's only an erva, one of the arayos, and it's with a hey hayidia. It's ha'erva, the erva. So Jesus says, it sounds like from the Rambam is going, the problem with listening to Ko Isha is not because it itself is provocative, like Etzba Kitana. That is, Tevach B'Isha is Erva. That itself is an Erva, is provocative. The Rambam understood Ko Isha Erva is not that it itself is provocative. It could lead to Arayos with her Erva, with an Arai, one of the Arayos. So it could lead to something more serious with this woman. Ko B'Isha, Ko Asa Gishmaya, Ko her Erva. Listen to her voice, because it could lead to relations with this woman. It's seductive. And therefore, it's only the call of an erva, one of the arayos. It's not one of the arayos. Maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't be a problem. It's only a problem if it's one of the arayos. As opposed to histaklus, where the Rambam writes, it's looking at the finger of any woman, a generic woman. So Rambam could, and the Rosh, could be of the opinion that the kol b'isha is not a problem with regards to erva as it relates to Kriya Shema, because it's not something that's provocative independently. It's something that could be seductive and lead to something more serious, and therefore it's also to listen to if it's one of the arayos, but would not constitute an erva, if it's your wife, let's say, would not constitute an erva with regards to lighting Kriya Shema. That's the opinion of the Rosh and the Rambam. However, look down, Oysir Aleph. That's the opinion of the Bahag, and the Rabbeinu Chananel is not so. Their opinion is, just like Tefach B'Isha Erva, Tefach of a woman's body that's normally covered up, that is now revealed, you're not allowed to lay in Kriya Shema or to gaze at it, or Tefach, or Sheik B'Isha Erva, is both with regards to Histaklus and with regards to Kriya Shema, so too Ko B'Isha Erva is also to listen to and constitutes an Erva with regards to Kriya Shema. Ah! But how could it constitute an erva with regards to Kriya Shema? What's the pasuk of erva with regards to Kriya Shema? Rabbi said, what's the pasuk? V'lo yireh becha ervas davar. You should not be seen where you are. An erva. You can't see a woman's coil. You can't see a voice. So Rabbeinu Chananel asks this. He says, v'ko af agav de nir le'inayim. Even though it's not visible, hear her mia ika. It's included in the pasuk because it generates inappropriate machshav, is inappropriate hirurim. Okay, so it's a stretch a little bit, but they understand that kol b'isha is also to listen to, and it constitutes an error for one of the arayos. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain the Rambam again?
The Rambam and the Rosh's opinion is that kol isha is also to listen to, not because it itself is erva. It itself is provocative, could lead to machshavas and hehuim. No. It's because it could lead to seduce a person to lead to relations later on. So if it's one of the arayos, you might end up having relations with one of the arayos.
You can
lay in Kriya Shema. Let's say it's your wife. So, and she's singing. She's laying Kriya Shema. What's the problem?
So you can't hear your mother sing that because it's not one of the arayos?
But you assume that mother has other dispensations, like hugging and kissing is all permitted with regards to a mother, because there's no hirhuim with regards to your mother either. So probably included in the same heter. But if you're listening to a mutter sound to listen to, assuming it's mutter to listen to your mother's voice, which is the general assumption amongst the poskim, just like it's mutter to listen to your wife's voice, here too, it wouldn't constitute an erva with regards to Kriya Shema. The other Rishonim disagree, and they understand, no, it is objectively something that is provocative and can cause inappropriate Yehurim and Machshavis, and therefore it is an erva not only with regards to listening to, you shouldn't listen to it, but also it constitutes an erva with regards to Kriya Shema. Even if it's a mutter voice to listen to, you cannot lame Kriya Shema, learn, or daven, if you're in the presence of even your wife's voice. It would be something that would be prohibited. I believe, in fact, that this could be a machlekes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Because what's the source that the Bavli quotes for Kol Be'isha Erva? It's from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ki Kolech Orev Umarech Nove. Your voice is sweet and your appearance is pleasant. So it compares a woman's voice to her appearance. And look in Rashi, I see basically here, Rashi in Sechtes Brachos writes, Kolech Orev, Midishabeach Lo Krobe Gavah, from the fact that the Pasuk praises her with regards to her appearance, Shema Minah, meaning it equates her appearance with her voice, Shema Minah Taivahu. It could create a desire, just like a woman's appearance can, so to a woman's voice. It could be something that is itself provocative. However, which is like the opinion of the Bahag and Rabbeinu Hananu. However, the Yushalmi has a different source for Kol Be'isha Erva. The Yushalmi learns it out from a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu, which is V'haya Mikol Zenusa V'techane Faretz. It will be because of, I think this is a drush, but it will be because of a woman's voice. It doesn't mean a woman's voice, it's Pashup Shah in the Pasuk. But Vahayami Kol Zanus, it will be because of the call of Zanus, that V'techane Faretz, the land will become defiled. But presumably that's talking about with relations. Not that the call itself is something that defiles the land, but it will be because of the call of V'techane Faretz, something more serious will occur. So that implies that the woman's voice is seductive and that will lead to something more serious, but not that itself is erva. It itself is something that is provocative. So this could be the machlek between the Bahag, Rabbeinu Hananu, and the Rambam and the Rosh. It's Kol Be'isha Erva, something that's also to listen to when it's one of the arayos, as the Rambam said, because it could lead to relations with one of the arayos. But it itself is not provocative. It's not an erva with regards to Kriya Shema. Or no, perhaps it's an erva with regards to Kriya Shema too, because Kol Be'isha is itself something that is provocative. And this is, how do we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch? So look down, Ois Yudal, Shulchan Aruch Simen Ayin, Hei Siv Gimel. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh li zoher, Mishmias kol zemer isha b'shas Kriya Shema. One should be nizhar. Does that sound like a chumra? Me'ikra adin? So it sounds like we don't really, me'ikra adin, we really paskin like the Rambam in the Rosh. That it's not erava with regards to Kriya Shema. A Kol Be'isha is seductive. Could lead to something more serious, but it itself is not provocative. But yeah, we should be choishish for the opinion of the Bahag and Rabbeinu Hananel. You should be nizhar. In their opinion, they're not laying Kriya Shema in the presence of Kol Be'isha, even if it's a call you're allowed to hear, like the call of your mother, according to Ruba the Pisces, the call of your wife that you're allowed to listen to. Nonetheless, you shouldn't lay Kriya Shema in the presence of that call. Because we should be machmir that a kol is something that's provocative, will lead to hirhurim, and will be distracting during Kriya Shema. I believe, though, that these two perspectives, the machlekes, the rishonim, perhaps in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, with regards to kol isha, could in fact help us understand many contemporary issues in kol isha, machlekes poiskim, with regards to various inyonim. The first is, which is mentioned over here by the Be'er Heitev in Eben Ezer, is what about a kol penuya, a kol of a woman you're allowed to marry, who's mutter to you? That doesn't mean the kol of a nida. Kol of a nida, you're not allowed to have relations with a nida. Kol nachris, you're not allowed to have marry a nachris. Or certainly the kol of another ashesis. But what about a kol penuya, a woman who's not married, and also presumably not a nida? Is that allowed? Are you allowed to listen to the kol penuya? So the Beis Shmuel says yes. Aval kol penuya o kol ishto mutter, not b'shas tefila, be allowed to listen to it. And then the Be'er Heitev quotes from the Sefer Be'er Sheva, was that the end of the period of the Rishonim, says, "Cause of bein besula bein almana also will show you o kol ishto shalei b'shas tefila, only allowed to listen to the call of your wife, assuming you're not laying in Kriya Shema." But he understands kol penuya is also the Mishnah Berurah paskins kol like the Beis Shmuel, which is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, he paskins kol penuya is mutter. So therefore, Rav Moshe is a well-known tshuva. Rav Moshe said, is a father is allowed to go to, let's say, his daughter's school play, even though all the daughter's friends are going to be singing. So he listened to his daughter's voice, but all the daughter's friends are going to be singing too. So he's allowed to go and listen to his daughter's friends while they're singing in the school play. So Rav Moshe says, as long as they're younger than 11, because at 11, he says, you have to presume one of them might be a nida, but as long as they're younger than 11, and then she's one of the arayos. So he says, as long as they're younger than 11, and then no one there who's, who have to presume or be afraid is a nida, Rav Moshe's Meikar Adin is mutter to listen to.
But not penuya for him, he's married, isn't it? So aren't all women therefore not?
Meikra, yeah. Then he can marry a second wife. We don't do that. Chayim Rabbeinu Tiger, Gershom, and other things. But it's a Kol Penuya. Yeah, it's a permitted woman to him. Oh, I say he's a single. Yeah, if it's his daughter. Yeah, right. He presumably has a wife. Right. But if it's a mutter woman to him, so then Ramayisha says Meikra Dina should be allowed. But Ramayisha writes over there that whoever is Machmer in this, Ramayisha has different formulations of the same idea, of kind of like a Machmer Tovalov Brocha, but the. And every different formulation is significant. Here, Rav Moshe writes, "Hamachmer b'zeh kadosh yomelai." It's kadosh. The schools nowadays they don't invite fathers to the even if it's your daughter is in it, even if it's second, third, fourth, fifth grade, they don't invite the fathers to these things anymore. But Rav Moshe said, "Meikra adin." He thinks it's allowed as long as all of the girls are younger than 10. Why should Kol Penuya be mutter? So again, Rav Moshe, I believe that this goes back to that machlokes rishonim. If kol isha is something that is inherently provocative, so then it doesn't make a difference who the woman is. Even if the woman is a mutter to you, but you're not married to the woman now, and that's something that's going to cause to have her hurim and machshava. It's just like you're not allowed to look at the etzbuk, you're not allowed to gaze at a woman, unless you're actually thinking about marrying her. You're not allowed to gaze at a woman. Even if she's mutter to you, you're not allowed to call mistakel be'etzbek tana shalisha kiyum mistakel makom ha'taref. You're not allowed to do it. It's simply something that's also to do. So then, kol be'isha as well, even if it's kol penuya, should be yasa. However, if it's if the nature of the isha of kol isha is because it's seductive, it might lead to a future relationship. So if the woman is mutter to you, it's a kol penuya, so then one can make the argument then that it should be allowed. This could also be the source of Machlekes contemporary Paiskim. What about the call of a sister? The call of a sister allowed. You don't find it anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch. So there's a Tshuva Sefer called Divrei Chachamim. Divrei Chachamim was by this fellow named Ginsberg, who followed around the Yaakov Kamenetsky before it was in vogue to do this. Now it's every Godot has someone following them around, so writing things down, a little book over there. But this is, he did this before, and he asked Rabbi Yaakov many shilas. I guess on the road, I don't know when he sat down and he asked him. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky many shilas. He has a few original things there from Ramesha too. So he asked them, what about listening to a sister's voice? Is that us or is that mutter? So he quotes there from the Chazon Ish. They quote from the Chazon Ish. I think it's quoted in the Sefer Halichos Bas Yisrael also. Chazon Ish held, you're not mipi Hashmua, you're not allowed to listen to your sister's voice. Once she's above the age of, some say 6 or 7, but they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, 11. Once the sister is 11, shouldn't listen to his sister's singing voice. And he quotes there from Ramesha, that Ramesha held a sister's voice is mutter. Shlomo Zalman also, they quote the name of Shlomo Zalman, that a sister's voice is mutter. What's the issue? So I believe it's this issue. If the kol isha is something that itself is provocative, like an erva. See, I don't think a brother is allowed to look at his sister's tefach of her body that's normally covered. A sheik be isha erva. I don't think he's allowed to look at his sister's sheik. A married sister, an older sister. So then, her kol should be also too. Kol be isha erva. It's something that's provocative. And that's why Rabbi Yaakov held that it's also. But if kol be isha erva doesn't mean it's itself an erva. It's seductive. It could lead to a future relationship. So we're not worried that that's going to happen with regards to one sister. Rav Sternbach has in the Truvis van Hugges, he says also, he thinks kol isha with a sister is mutter. He says, how could it be usher? He says, you're allowed to meikra adin, one is allowed to hug and kiss his sister. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that whoever does this is a davar meguna b'yoser, it's a davar iser, it's a maisa tipshim. I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch needs all three descriptions, one right after another. It's a davar meguna, davar iser, it's a ma'isa tipshim. So we don't do it if it's an older sister. But at the same time, Rabbi Yaakov says it's mutter. I'm sorry, Rabbi Sternbach says it's mutter. How can it be us if they listen to her voice, her singing voice? So I believe that's exactly the point. That's because he's assuming that the iser is one that is going to lead to a relationship. So they're okay, we're not concerned that it's going to lead to a relationship with your sister. But if kol be'isha erva is that that itself is provocative, I think even though one is allowed to hug his sister, meikra adin, I don't think he's allowed to see tefach b'isha, or tefach of her body that's normally covered, a shayk b'isha of his sister, because if it's self provocative, so then it should be yasser. So this issue of kol achoisai could be relevant to based on this discussion. Many held the minig is like Moshe said, the minig is to be meiko. Yaakov said that he thought one should be machmir. This could also be at the heart of the issue with regards to, as discussed with many contemporary poskim, what about listening to a woman's voice, or they were talking about over the radio, or any electronic recording of the woman where you have no picture of the woman, you don't recognize who it is. You don't know what she looks like. So many poskim, there is a tshuva in the Maram Shik, Rav Avadia has a tshuva in the Abiya Omer, they quote like this from Rabbi Yashiv and from Rabbi David Feinstein too, that it's mutter. What is the heter based on? It's based on this Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, often misquoted. But the Gemara says over here the following. The Gemara says, a halacha, that when a man gets skila, he's unclothed. He wasn't wearing clothing when they perform skila. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Urgamu oisai, you should stone him, oisai b'loi ksusai, him without his garments. So the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda was a woman too, when she's stoned without her garments. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say a woman is stoned with her garments. Oisai b'loi ksusai, oisai b'ksusa, him without his garments, but a woman with garments. So Gemara asks in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a man and a woman both are stoned without their garments. What about her hura? What about the people who are there watching the woman be stoned? It's going to lead to inappropriate machshavas and her hurim if they see a woman being stoned without her garments. So Gemara says, what kind of her hurim? Look at the last line. Haka hamiktala. She's dead after the whole thing. She's going to be killed. What her hurim? So Gemara says, no. V'chitema asilis geruya b'achrinaisa. It's going to lead him to have Yehurim about another woman. Not this woman. Another woman. Sigmar says, no, I'm a rabbi, Gemiri, we have a tradition. Ain a yetzer hara shaylet, o b'misha ain avros. You can't start talking about Yehurim, about a woman that he hasn't seen. You're talking about the Yehurim by this woman who's about to be stoned. She's not wearing a clothing. It's going to have, it causes to have machshavas, inappropriate machshavas about another woman. When it says, ain a yetzer hara shaylet, b'misha ain avros, he didn't see that woman. So what kind of Yehurim could he possibly have? So too, say the poskim, if you don't know this woman, you don't recognize her, you don't know what she looks like, so then the kobi, isha, should also be mutter. So that's what these poskim were mako with regards to listening to a woman's voice over a radio or another recording where you don't know what the woman looks like. If there's a picture of the woman, and it's a screen, and there's a picture of the woman singing, so then, or you know what she looks like, so then these poskim are not mako. In a later tshuva, that was what Rabbi Avadia writes in, I think, in the Chelek Aleph of Yabiyo Omer. In the later tshuvas, Chelek Tes, I think, Rabbi Avadia retracted, he was more makel. Rabbi Avadia said, even if you know what she looks like, but you were never in the room with her, you never met this person, so Rabbi Avadia claims, also makel. Also makel. Why? Because the Gemara, the Taisus over here in Sanhedrin, Erkasha, why are the poskim machmir if you know what she looks like? So Tosfos in Sanhedrin, because Tosfos in Sanhedrin asked the kasha. Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, Kol Ha'omer Rochav Rochav. There was a Zayin at the time in Tanakh, in Sefer Yeshua, named Rochav. And the Gemara says, she was apparently very beautiful. So the Gemara says, Kol Ha'omer Rochav, whoever would say the name Rochav, Miyan Nikri, he'll be Mitzi Zera just by saying her name. So he asked Tosfos, oh, but Eina Yetzahar Shelta, Misha Eina Vroz. You're not. He didn't see Rachav. He just simply mentioned her name. Nonetheless, we might see Zera. So Taisa says, "Hasan bi Yoida umakira." That's different. That's talking about a woman that you knew. They all knew what she looked like. So therefore, Taisa says that if you know what she looks like, that's a problem. So the Pesach said, if you know what the woman looks like, but there's a screen with her singing, then it's a problem of Koisha. So Rav Avadia says, yeah, but that's not talking about that they happened to know what they saw her picture in a magazine, they saw a picture on the screen. No, they met her in person. Oh, that's how they knew what she looked like. How'd they know what she looked like? They met her in person. They didn't see her image somewhere. So says Rav Avadia, it's only us if you was met the person, you were in the room with the person. If you never met the person, so then it should be mutter. What kind of svara is that? Why do you have to meet the person? So the believer Rabbi Avadia is going, and these poskim are operating with the svara that why is called isha aser? Not because it itself is inherently seductive. No, the kol, if it's divorced from an image of a woman, or being in the presence of a woman, the woman itself who's singing, that's not inherently something that's provocative, because it could lead to a relationship later on. So you have to know who the woman is. You have to have, perhaps, Rabbi Avadia, at least have to know what she looks like, perhaps even have to have been in the room with her. in order that it could have led to a relationship. But if you don't know who the woman looks like, or Ravadia claims, even if you've never been in the room with the woman, so then so how could it possibly lead to something more serious? You don't even know who she is. Along these lines, if you accept this argument, so then perhaps one could take the argument a little bit further, there's a sefer called Hatznei Aleches by Rav Getzel Ellenson. I don't know if it's so popular now anymore. It was translated into English, called The Modest Way. So he makes, if you're going to say this, maybe you can take it a little bit further and say, well, let's say you're at an opera, or let's say you're at the Broadway show, and there's a woman who's singing in the opera. Even though you're in the same room with her, you didn't meet the woman. You have no, if you try and go backstage, they'll arrest you. It's creepy, they'll arrest you for doing such a thing. You never can have no shyness with this woman. You cannot develop, it cannot lead to a further relationship. So if you go down this line of thinking, maybe one can make such an argument. It's an argument. Maybe one can make such an argument as well that cannot possibly lead to the relationship. So maybe one can make along these lines, the new Rebbe Avadia, second version, that maybe one can make this argument as well. There should be mutter in that context too. Many people have rejected the whole thing. Even if you don't know what the woman looks like, you never met her, none of this. That's not what the Gemara in Sanhedrin means. There's a tshuva in the Chelkas Yaakov of Yaakov Breish and others of Vosner and the Debrezina Rav. Many rejected this whole line of argument that even if you never met the woman, you know what she looks like, it should be Yasser. Why? Because what is the Gemara talking about in Sanhedrin? The Gemara is talking about, you saw a woman being stoned. She wasn't wearing any clothing. So Gemara says, well, maybe it'll cause you to have inappropriate machshavas about another woman. Yeah, but that's an imaginary woman. You never met her, never heard from her, and hide nor hair. So it's imaginary. Oh. So Gemara says, Ain't a yet to her, Charlotte. El Mamish ain't a rose. It cannot be an imaginary figment of your imagination. But here, this is not a figment of your imagination. You're listening to her voice. Oh, so then, Kol Beisha Erva. So then it should be us to listen to, even though you don't know what she looks like and you don't recognize who she is, and certainly you never met her either. So I believe that these parts can understand because Ko Isha is something that is inherently provocative. It's not something that could lead to a relationship later on. However, if you have no shakas to this woman, it cannot lead to a relationship later on. No, this Ko Isha is something that's inherently provocative. And therefore, like the opinion of the Bahag and Rabbeinu Hanano, and therefore it should be something that's also, even though you don't have any shakas to the woman. This could also be the basis of Machlekes HaPaisim has come up. It's a newer svara that the contemporary Paiskim are saying. It used to only be a Das Yochid. And the Das Yochid was suggested by the Tzitz Eliezer, by Voldenberg. Where Avadia writes over there, he heard the same thing from Rabbi Yashiv. He quotes there from a Sefer Yashiv Moshe in the name of Rabbi Yashiv. He quotes from other Paiskim too. That it could be that perhaps there's another line to be made. Whenever the voice is electronically modified, meaning you use a microphone, or certainly you hear it as a recording, you're not hearing the woman's voice. You're hearing an electronic voice, like Siri on your phone. You know, you're not hearing a woman's voice. You're hearing an electronic voice. So that's why many Paiskim say you cannot hear, everyone says, you cannot hear Kol Shofar on a radio or through a microphone or Megillah on a radio because you're not hearing the voice. You're hearing an electronic voice. So too, they claim that it should be that should lead to a Kula.
Who is it?
Huh?
Who said that?
The Tzitz Eliezer said this. The Rav Avadia claims that he said that Rav Eliashiv said the same thing. He's quoted in Sefer Yosha Moshe that it's an electronically modified voice. It's not the Ko'isha anymore. That's why some Paiskim are machmer a cappella music during the 3 weeks or during Sfiras HaEmor. They quote this from Belsky and others. So it's a good svara. All a cappella music is, they soup it up with different synthesizers and modifiers. Everything is, they take one voice and then they plug it in. They modify it. You make a voice on a recording, then they record it and play it to make it sound fancier. It's all voices, but it's all they're using instruments, you know, electronic modifiers to make it sound better. So Belsky claims, so then a cappella music is not a cappella. You just, instead of using, tambourines or using drums or using, percussion instruments, you're using synthesizers, but that's also an instrument. So he claims all a cappella music is all also during the 3 weeks in Sfiras HaEmor too. But those chumra should perhaps yield a cooler with regards to kolisha, that it's not the woman's voice you're listening to, you're listening to an instrument. Others, so then whenever you're using a mic, it wouldn't help for the opera. I think that's their pride and glory, is that they don't use their microphones. But anytime you're using a microphone or some other synthesizer, it should be allowed. That's their argument. And others, Rabbi Bleich has in his books, Rabbi Bleich is a Pesach here in Yeshiva, and Rav Nissen Kralitz, others make the argument, 1 minute, Rabbi, let's say you have an electronic, an electronically created image of a woman dressed inappropriately. That's probably us to look at. Even though it's an electronically created woman, such a woman doesn't exist. That's usher. So then, ko isha, if it's a singing voice, even if it's electronically modified, you hear an electronically created voice. If it's if that's something that's that perhaps that's something that should also be usher. According to this, then I don't know if Siri sings. If you could ask Siri to sing, it should be also then too. But Rabbi Zai, if this should come back to the old issue, if the Shiloh of Kolisha or something could lead to something more serious, you can't have a relationship with Siri. I don't know, is Siri a real person? No. Someone told me, I don't think so. So you cannot have a relationship with Siri. So then Kobe Isha should not apply to electronically modified voice, because there's no person there. But if Kol Isha is also, because it itself is something that's inherently provocative, so then just like an electronically created image of a woman dressed inappropriately would be us, it would be Sheikh B. Sheriff, so too, electronically created voice. There's one other issue, or two other issues that's related to this. How do we understand the nature of the Isha of Kol B'Isha Erva? As with regards to what about Shirei Kodesh? This is a contemporary issue many are discussing now. Is what about Shirei Kodesh, meaning songs that are not provocative songs? There's Zmiris. Or what about at a funeral? So the Tiferes Yisrael already raises this issue on the Mishnah's Maseches Ma'akatin, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Ma'akatin that there used to be women who wailed at the funerals. Mekainanais. Used to sing, they used to wail. So he quotes in the name of his father, Paragimel Mishnah Ches, he quotes in the name of his father, whoa, how could that woman wailing? It's Kol B'Isha Erva. So his father said, "The b'shasha meis mutal lefanav ein chayshin to hear her." Come on, funeral has paid him. What are you worried about? It's going to lead to inappropriate machshavas. It's not the time for such a thing. The Tiferes Yisrael does not accept this svara. He says, "Lo hevanti divrei kodshai," because the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that we're worried or concerned with yichud on the way back from a funeral. The Gemara has a whole story. If you ever learn the fourth parak of Maseches Kiddushin, you know, remember the story. So the Gemara is concerned, and a whole mitzvah that took place on the way back from a funeral. So the Tiferes Yisrael says, "You see," so he says, "Well, maybe that's after they buried the mace, as opposed to the hespedim, which are before they buried the mace." But the Tiferes Yisrael is not so happy with this kula. But this kula is more well known, not from the father of the Tiferes Yisrael, but in the Sefer Stechemet, which is a collection of psalkim from the Sfardi, from our Medini. So he quotes there from a Tshuva Sefer. A lot of them are anonymous to us. We don't recognize the authors. But there's a quote from a Tshuva's Divrei Chayfetz, who says that perhaps it raises the svara, perhaps by like Shirei Kodesh, Zmiris, we're not concerned that that's going to lead to inappropriate machshavas or hirurim, because that is it's not the context for such a thing. That is the primary svara of often quoted Sri Deyesh. The Sri Deyesh of Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who was the successor to Lahoyo and others, later, first in Germany, then after the war came to Eretz Yisrael. So Sri Deyesh said when he arrived, he was visiting in Germany, so he observed that the minig of Germany was that the boys and the girls, by Rav Hirsch and by Rav Israel Hildesheimer, that the minig was that the boys and girls sang Zmiris together. Not brothers and sisters. Boys and girls sang Zmiris together. So he inquired as to what was the basis for the heter, and they told him that it's based on Gemara and Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, that Trei Koli Loi Mishdamoy. The Gemara says, look over here, I see a test. Gemara says, Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin Med Aleph, that in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow, together with the Tkiya Shofar, on Rosh Hashanah, they used to blow Chatzaitzris, trumpets. So Gemara says, 1 minute, you're blowing trumpets at the same time as the Tkiya Shofar? How do you hear the tkiyah shofar? Trei kol lo mishtamoi. You cannot hear the shofar if you're blowing trumpets at the same time. You cannot hear two things at once. So too, they said, you can't have boys and girls singing together. This mirror shouldn't be a problem because you cannot hear the kol isha. You cannot hear two things at once, hearing the boys, the girls. You cannot kol isha, you cannot hear it because trei kol lo mishtamoi. So Sri Yesh was not happy with this kula. Why was he not happy with this kula? Because the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, 1 minute. They blew shofar. This is what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. They blew shofar at the same time with the Chatzaitzers. So the Gemara says, how do you hear shofar such a time? So the Gemara says, not a problem. Came in the Chaviv, since that's what you're trying to hear, you have died to Vishama. You can, concentrate and hear the shofar. So if you can concentrate and hear the shofar, says the Sri Yesh, you can concentrate and hear the kol isha too. That's the kula if you ever go to a hotel for Pesach. So everyone's sitting in the big room. Everyone's making kiddush together. This one's making kiddush. That one's making kiddush. How am I yotzei kiddush? If I'm listening to someone else making kiddush, a wife, she's listening to her husband make kiddush. How should you yotzei kiddush? This one's saying kiddush. She's singing. This one's saying. That one's talking. This one's talking. How do you yotzei kiddush in such a big room? Another reason maybe not to in hotels. So how you yotzei kiddush? So the answer, Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah was bothered by such a thing in Sukkah, on Sukkahs. If you're in a place where they have a lot of apartment buildings, in Eretz Yisrael you have it, the communal Sukkahs. Everyone's making Kiddush together in the Sukkah. How you yotzei Kiddush? This one's talking, that one's talking. So Mishnah Berurah says, you have Da'at HaVishama, you can concentrate on the Kiddush and hear and listen, and be yotzei Kiddush like that. So too, perhaps it could be yotzei, it would be a problem of Kol Isha, if you could concentrate and hear it. So what would these Paiskim say? So there are those who defend Rav Hirsch. And they say, no, come on, it's different. It's different. Why is it different? Two reasons. If you're being Yotzei Kiddush with someone else, you have Da'atei V'Shama, or you're listening to Tkiyah Shofar together with the Chatzaitzis, you're not a participant, you're not singing. But if you're singing, there's no way you can concentrate on a second voice. How can you concentrate on the girl's voice if you're the boy is singing? But even more than that, there's a better distinction. The Chasan Sofer and the Sefer Avodas Hayoim, Chasan Sofer, says, when can you concentrate and hear the voice and pick it out from a crowd? Is if you've heard that voice once independently. A wife knows her husband's voice, she can concentrate and pick it out from the crowd. But if you never heard this girl's voice independently, you've only heard it in a crowd, together with these youth gatherings, so then you cannot pick it out from the crowd. As far. But the Sri Yesh said he thinks there's a better heter to rely on with regards to the boys and the girls singing zmiros together, and that is that it's Shirei Kodesh, it's zmiros. It's there to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not Chas V'Shalom to bring a person further away. So therefore, says the Sri Yesh, since it's not the context for Herhurim, not the context for Machshavas, everyone's trying to come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then perhaps there's more of a reason to be Mekel. It could be Zmiris, there's more of a reason to be Machmir. Because Zmiris, the Tzitzel Eliezer says, Adarab, it's more of a reason to be Machmir Zmiris, not more of a reason to be Mekel. Why? Zmiris might be a tefillah. We said, even a kol that you're allowed to listen to, kol isha of your wife, you're allowed to listen to, but many held you're not allowed to listen to it when you're davening, for Kriya Shema, or for learning. Because it's Kol B'Isha Erva. So if Kol B'Isha is an Erva, it itself is provocative. So then Zmiris, if Zmiris is a Tefillah, even when your wife is singing Zmiris with you, that's why some have been more Machmir by Zmiris, even with your sister, or with your wife, or with your mother. Perhaps you're not allowed to sing Zmiris at that time. They call the name of Shlomo Zalman that Zmiris are not a Tefillah. Tzitzel Eliezer held Zmiris are a Tefillah. I think that depends on two minhagim. Some say Shem Hashem in Zmiris, some say don't say Shem Hashem in Zmiris. So I think that they're arguing, is it a tefillah or not? So if you don't say Shem Hashem in Zmiris, so then you could have a wife singing together with you or sister. If you hold, you say Shem Hashem in Zmiris, then you hold it's a tefillah. So then I don't know, it may be more of a problem. But the Sri Yesh held it was a reason not to be Machmer, he held it was a reason to be Mekel. Because he's trying to come closer to Hashem. Yes?
Because the Chasan Sofer's opinion not work out if it's a lot of men and only one woman. You can Even if you haven't heard the woman individually, you can still make out her voice?
Maybe. But men's voices, sometimes you have a high-pitched man's voice. It's hard to tell the difference between a man's voice and a woman's voice.
It usually is a difference.
Yeah, if you have kids singing, it's not easy sometimes. Not easy. Yes?
What if it's a bunch of women and you're not hearing any specific one?
Right, so then maybe you'd have the kula. It's a kula. Maybe you have the kula of Trey Kali. But you say, maybe I could pick it out. So you say the Chasan Sofer said, only if you've heard it once, as you're hearing a chorus. Symphony. There's a chorus of people singing. How could you possibly pick out a woman that you never heard her voice independently? So according to that svar, the Chasan Sofer, yeah. There's room to be made. But again, I think all of this, the Shirei Kodesh, only makes sense, the Heth of the Shvi'i Deyesh only makes sense if it's a problem that, because you're worried about it leading to a relationship. It's seductive. So if it's not seductive, it's Shirei Kodesh, it's Miris. Or it's at a funeral, nothing's going to happen. We're not concerned something's going to happen. Maybe. We're not concerned something's going to happen. Tiferes Yisrael said something happened at a funeral. But maybe we're not concerned something's going to happen. But others, if you hold Kobe Isha as an error, it's inherently error, something that's provocative, so I don't think that the context really makes it, with the trait call that you might not depend on this. If you can't pick out the woman's voice, you can't pick out the woman's voice. But but the Gemara says, you have Daita Veshoma, you can concentrate and hear it. But if it's inherently something that's provocative, then the context doesn't make a difference. Whether it's Shirei Kodesh at a funeral, it inherently is provocative. So we're not worried that it's going to lead to a relationship further. It inherently is something that could lead to machshavas and hirurim, and therefore it should be something that's also. Not all the parties can be accepted the heft of this 3-day issue. It's very controversial. And this tshuva is Divrei Chachamim. He quotes there from Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was not a fan of it. He only said it should be allowed if it's Eis Lasos Hashem Meferes Sarasechi. No way of keeping the kids Jewish or religious unless you're going to do this. Okay. He said then if there's no other way, fine. But if there's another way, Rabbi Yaakov held that it shouldn't be relied upon. There's a famous Maisa that they say over that when Rabbi Ruderman, who was Rosh Hashiva, founded near Yisrael, came to America in the 30s. So he visited by Rabbi Elazar Meir Prel. Rabbi Elazar Meir Prel was a Rosh Hashiva. There's a Rosh Hashiva here until he died in the early 30s. He was the father-in-law, though, of Pinchas Teitz. He was the first chief rabbi of Elizabeth. Pinchas Teitz came and married his daughter after he died, 1933 and 1934. So Ruderman once came to visit by Rabbi Elazar Meir Prel for Shabbos. He was one of the big rabbanim in America at the time, so everyone passed through his house. See, a lot of times he had guests on Shabbos. So Ruderman once came to visit by him for Shabbos. So before they sat down to the meal, he pulled them aside to the other room. He says, I just want you to know, I sing with my daughters, Zmiris, at the table. Just want you to know. I hope you'll be okay with it. Yeah, it's fine with him. So he said, I only say it to you because a few weeks ago we had a different guest for Shabbos. And when he heard the daughter singing, he stormed out of the room. And they started crying, and it created a whole tumult in the home. And he doesn't want such a scene again. They say it was the story goes it was a Baruch Bear who stormed out of it. So he said to Rav Ruderman, I hope you'll be okay. And Rav Ruderman said, yeah, he was okay with it. But he wasn't okay. He said he tried not to listen, but it wasn't his thing. So again, Rav Prel could be, that was his sister, you know, his own daughters. But even when there were other men in the room, he continued to be Mekel. Because I guess every Shabbos, he felt that there were no Jewish schools, there were no day schools at that time. Rabbi Teitz instituted day schools in Elizabeth, his son-in-law. But those days, there was no Jewish day schools, and he felt that it was critical for the chinuch of his children. Anyway, so there are many issues with regards to Kol Isha. I think that we should apply the standard of the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe one can make the argument in certain circumstances to be made on some of these issues. But the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh li zoher, especially in our context, our society, where pritzus has become the norm, and we live in such an open society, perhaps it's, as Rav Moshe said, that Kodosh Yom Eloi, a person will be machmer on these things, yesh li zoher, many of these inyanim when it comes to Kol Isha. Okay, shkoyach, Rabbi Yisrael.